But I remember when you came, you were like totally into it, like taking notes, like really interested in what I was doing. And I was thinking, yeah, this is actually the first time someone's like, seems like they want to be here for more than just, you know, having a nice article.
From the last minute, we had to change the setup. And it was going to be countdown, and I had to do the intro. We always have the events, of course, with the whole sound and clapping. And the weird thing is, with an online event, people at home have sound, but in the arena, you hear nothing.
Yeah.
So that's a very strange experience.
I also remember receiving text messages, and Katja was with me. We were driving the car, and I was receiving text messages from you. And I said, I'm mapping with Connie. She's saying we're on target, and things are going really well, and this is the next strategy, and this. She was like, isn't she in labor? I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, probably, but that's Connie.
This episode of TRT the Podcast is brought to you by Knacht, fully electric tractors.
G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of TRT the Podcast. I'm super grateful to be bringing you this guest today. It's going to be a real treat. Not only for me, but also for you guys. My guest today is one of the most successful and fastest growing entrepreneurs that I know. She's a master in marketing, very successful in marketing and business consultancy, everything in digital online platforms. She has built multiple successful online stores and online training platforms, magazines, apps. She's also a very successful and very hands-on property designer and developer and builder. She is the most hardworking person I know in this space. She is the owner of Dressage Pro. She is my friend and my long-term business partner and co-founder of TRT Method Online Training. Connie Loonsler, welcome to the TRT Podcast.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, what an introduction.
Yeah, I put a big list of people that I wanted to have. And of course, we went through some stories in the beginning, but you are really one of the people that I had planned and that I really wanted to have on the podcast purely because you are one of the most important people actually in my life. You're a person that I'm incredibly grateful for. And not only because we are very good in business together and you are a very good business partner to have and incredibly good at what you do, but you're a wonderful person, and we have very similar core values. We fire very well together. You give me an incredible amount of energy all of the time, doesn't matter what we're talking about, and you're also always bringing out the best in me. So thank you for being you, and thank you for being on the podcast. It was actually funny. I was going through the beginning part of this, and quite often in interviews, mm-hmm. I've been asked the fast five, you know, like people reel off the question, you have to give the answers. And quite often, I've had the question of, who is the most important woman in your life, Connie or Katja? Obviously, Doreen has to be also on that list. But between you, Doreen, and Katja, and luckily for me, I always give the correct answer in that situation.
Of course. But, me, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Thank you.
I just want to start. It's good that people get a little bit of a background of how we met, how we came together to start this. So maybe we can give a little bit both of our recollection of how we came together. Of course, I've heard of quite a number of times in our TRT live events out the back.
Where you're going.
Where you're giving the speech on the microphone and me preparing at the back thinking, what is she saying now? It's like, so what's your...
Well, of course, I first read about you in a magazine, a Dutch equestrian magazine. And at that time, I had a blog. That's how I started. And when I read about it, I was like, this is new. I've been riding at that point, I think, for 25 years. Why am I hearing about this now? And it made a lot of sense. So I thought, I have to meet this guy and see if I can do an interview with him. So I think I just sent you an email, and you were very generous with your time, and we came to make a video, and I don't know, it felt so good And I think at that point, we already talked about an online training. You had some ideas to do it with your former wife. And I was like, oh, shit. I thought, okay, yeah, that made perfect sense to do an online training, because I think at that point of time, you had like a waiting list of 80 people. And yeah, you can't duplicate yourself. So online training sounded like a good way to go forward.
I remember actually that first, it was in Lure, wasn't it? The first time you came. And the one specific thing I remembered, and of course, there's a lot of people come and they do an interview or interview for a magazine, or they call up with questions and things like that. And or you get somebody comes and does sort of a formal interview sitting in the tea room. And then a photographer comes and takes photos of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a totally separate thing.
Yeah.
But I remember when you came, you were like totally into it, like taking notes, like really interested in what I was doing. And I was thinking, yeah, this is actually the first time someone's like, seems like they want to be here for more than just, you know, having a nice article. So that was my first impression. I was like, she's searching for something extra than just a nice blog.
No, but that's true, because with that blog, I was basically writing about the things that I found interesting.
Yeah.
And it turns out when I think something's interesting, a lot of people are like me, and they also find it interesting. So that works. And I want to know more about it. So I was very happy that I could come and see you. And then I think we also had an interview for an online magazine that I was creating at that time. We also had a photo shoot. Then organized the Partner Lifestyle Masterclass. And you also came to give two demonstrations. And of course, then I learned that when you give a demo, someone really has to check the time, because we were going overtime, like completely. I think it was about to end at maybe 6, and I think we were going until 9 or something.
Yeah.
But people loved it. And then it was, and at that point, you still hadn't created the online training. So I was like, And then it was a year later, asked you again for the masterclass. And then you weren't with your former wife anymore. And then I saw some opportunities. So I sent you a message after the event again. So maybe, do an online training. And then I remember you replying saying, yeah, sure, let's do coffee. And I responded with really lame, like saying, well, if you also have tea, because I don't like coffee, I'll offer it. And that was in May of 2015. And we launched a training half of October of the same year. Yeah. So that was pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that being, and I remember that vibe being at the first time I came to the clinic at the masterclass, Part of Lifestyle. And also remember thinking, geez, this is a professional like operation. It's like everything super organized, decorated, coffee. You were hosting, you know, looking very professional with the microphone. It was like, I was like, hang on, this is okay. This is something, you know, this is not the ordinary sort of clinic where you walk in and someone, you know, says, here's your first horse or blah, blah, blah. It was like super professional. And then I knew when, and I was thinking, actually, I was actually not thinking online training, because I was still back in, I was thinking DVDs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And
oh,
that was already kind of on the way out. And I remember also having the discussion about how we were going to do it. And of course, at that time, I was thinking, oh yeah, I just work a horse and I show how I do the first few things and we see if someone from down the road also finds it interesting, and slowly we can maybe do some more videos. And maybe after a few years we have, you know, some content that some people are interested in. I was really thinking we were gonna and then
take a really long time.
It's like, no, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna make the online training. It's gonna be in a few months online, and then people are gonna really enjoy it. I was thinking, okay, and that's actually what happened.
Yeah, and at that point I had quite a following with the blog.
Yeah.
And I think it was a few years before that, I had followed my first online course about blogging, and I was so amazed about how much you can learn from an online training.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, one-on-one, I thought, yeah, we can do that also with you. And also with how people responded from the masterclasses, that those were also the people following. So I knew a lot of good faith in it.
Automatically, as we get further in this podcast, talking about community, but already those things came together really well.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what I sensed was from the start, we had the goals of sort of supplying something to people of value.
Yeah.
You were doing the same with, of course, the masterclasses and bringing a number of trainers together, giving people information, honest information that you wanted to know yourself, that other people would be interested in through the blog. And then I think that combination, that formula with bringing people together and creating a community, we combine then the communities. They said I had also a long waiting list for people with horses in training, and I was doing a lot of demos at a lot of the shows in the Netherlands and also around. So people were seeing it. And the biggest question afterwards was, oh, that was great, but what do we do now? Like, how do we learn more? And I was finding this sort of momentum. And when we brought that together, I really felt that we then made something of value, that if I was doing a clinic or I did a demonstration and people were interested and really thought this is something that can really help me, I felt like I had something to say here.
Yeah.
Look here, we have created something that can really help you.
Yeah, exactly. And that was also when we started working together. It wasn't like, okay, how can we make a lot of money and what can we make to, It was like, how can we create something that really helps people?
Yeah.
And that has always been the foundation.
Yeah.
And that also makes my work much easier because I don't, I mean, of course, my role is to like make sure also that it sells, but it's easy to sell something of value.
Yeah.
It really gives a good feeling because you're really helping people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that's what sort of was good for us. But I think personally, that also got us into a lot of trouble in the way of we both have great imaginations and we get very enthusiastic about a new idea that could possibly give a lot of value to a lot of people. And then during the time we were following on with the live events, of course, your experience from running masterclasses. And then, of course, we had some very interesting times with some grand ideas in the beginning of TAT doing different countries.
Yes.
And of course, we were always, I always had the feeling that we did it like we've always done it. And and we just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And we always, you often said it out loud, even if I'd said, but I don't know, Connie, as we do it, it'll be all right. It's no problem. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I just have that in
That's sort of becoming the mantra, even when it's perhaps not really fine.
But I remember some of the early ones. Do you have some memories also from?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one was, of course, the Dressage Convention in October 2015. So, right, I think it was a few days after we had launched online training.
Yeah.
Or a few days before, I'm not really sure. But you were invited to give clinics at an event from Carl Hester and Richard Davidson. And so I also came with you. And we had like a trade stand there with TRT. And the event was sold out. And I remember it very well. The doors opened up. And I thought, oh, everybody's going to love this. Eh? And they just rushed in, trying to get the best seat possible. They didn't even take a look. And I was like, I had some sort of different expectations. I thought maybe this wasn't a good idea to be here with a trade stand. And then you gave your first demo. And then there was a break and everybody came to the trade stand and wanted to know more. And you also came there and questions and it was crazy. And of course, also the first appearance of Brad Kitty. And that was also then, because like with the first, when we launched it, it was first like mostly in the Netherlands, also of course, but you said also the people you were teaching in the Netherlands and also from my blog. But then it moved to the UK. And then that was a very great start. And now, of course, I also have, I think it was 3 years later when we went back to the UK and gave our own TRT live event. I think that's still the most memorable event.
I remember actually from the Dressage Convention, I still have the original footage because that was, of course, the birth of Brett Kidding. And most people know the story of the birth of Brett Keating now. But I just remember, of course, that was also sort of a lot of improv. And I hadn't discussed it with anybody.
No.
And you were, I still have the original footage where you're filming. And I could remember you laughing through the whole.
Yeah, I really had to try not to laugh because you could hear my sound the clearest.
Amongst all the other people. Yeah. And of course, then we went, because it was a terrific venue actually for the dressage convention. And we had, of course, the memories of so many people coming to the stand and how much contact we could make with the people, how many connections we could actually and feel from the people what they wanted. And I remember after that first night of the dressage convention, trying to sleep and just hearing everyone's questions in my mind and trying to come up with formulas and solutions and new videos and what's the next course we're going to make because people really need to know this. And and then when we announced we're going back to the UK, and we gave the first TRT live event.
Yeah.
And that was, super special, but also it was slightly chaotic. But it
stressful. It was stressful. Because of this, when we came there, everything is fine. I mean, someone was helping us with having the ring, and we were like, oh, this is going to be great. And then we had to do the sound check. And there was this guy who was helping, and it was Miriam, Katja's sister, who had a laptop with the sound, and she did the sound check with that guy who was going to control the sound. And it was all good. And we were going to do a sound... like a final sound check I would do with him like an hour before we would start. And I think we were going to start at 6 or at 5, we would have to do that sound check. And at that time, you were like preparing in the stables. And then he was like, I was like, okay, where is he? And then I saw him like rushing. He said, I have to go to the stable. I have to go to the stable. And I was like, okay. Turns out he was also the stable guy. So probably you asked for hay or whatever. So he was taking care of that. And I was waiting, and then it was 10 minutes, 10 to 6, and he was back. And I was like, okay, we have to go quickly through it. And people were coming in, and it was...
through the whole schedule, what the plan was.
Yeah, exactly, because there were some specific points where the sound had to change. There was one moment where Brett was like... and then there had to be a different song. And yeah, you have to know that, of course, else you're like... and then the song, and then you're going to be angry, of course. And then we had only 10 minutes, and from the glass, I could see everybody in the seats, and it was completely packed. And I was like, okay, here it is. I think we can still do this. And then he looked at the laptop, and it was like a MacBook. And he was like, oh, I don't know how this works. And he had his hands in his hair, and I was like, I was looking at him, and I was like, get it together. I was thinking that. I don't know how it works. You have to make it work. So then I had to go down and get Miriam. I said, you have to control the laptop because he doesn't know how it works. And then we went through it, and everything went right. And I was like, oh, gosh. And I was so afraid that it wouldn't because, of course, I have to also make sure that it goes right on my part. And you're all prepared and going to give a good show. And then I screw it up.
I remember also at that event being in the stable and talking to the stable guy and telling him I have to go, I don't get my headset on, I have to meet the sound guy. And then I went to the spot and it was him. It was the same guy.
Did he put on a different hat or not?
He did many jobs on that day.
Yeah.
So there was also, and of course, we had so many things. Of course, in Aachen, a similar thing with the sound there. Having to run backwards and forwards, Wim at that time, to get a cable.
Because going to a store, buying it, and then you had like this double mic attached to it to make it work. And
yes, and of course, at that time, we also had the difficulty 5 minutes before the show, the authorities came and wanted to check the transport papers from all the horses. But of course, lucky we had Doreen there at that time. But then also Kemperman, the director of Aachen, came and was double checking that everything was okay. And we were thinking, I have to be in the arena in less than a minute. And the authorities are coming. Can you talk to them? Because I have to.
And Doreen was pretending that she couldn't really speak German. And I was like,
buying some time.
Yeah.
So we had some close calls.
Yeah.
And then, of course, many things happened in between that. But then, of course, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then, when everybody was thinking that the world is over and all the places and spaces where we normally meet were closed down, and we were seeing the desperation in the horse public of not being able to do what they do on a daily basis, not being able to go to competitions, not being able to just simply talk to other horse people.
Yeah.
And then that was our first time going digital.
And then we decided to go really professional.
Yes.
So, yes. And then it still almost went wrong.
Yes. So I just remember from that, actually during that time, I felt kind of guilty afterwards because I realized that there's a lot of things going on in a very high stress environment that you guys protect me from.
Yeah.
But I do remember, you know, with our 25 Zoom licenses and you building your whole indoor arena to have screens up so that we could go and we could touch the screen. And of course, the lead up with that, with Zoom letting us down and not turning up to the setups and the meeting, and those things sort of snowballed into this humongous nightmare till literally minutes going in.
Yeah. It was the first time, I think, like the night before, because normally I'm pretty good at thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. I tell myself that. It was the first time that I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, oh, we still don't have it worked out with Zoom. Why are they not helping us? But yeah, it was exactly that. We had to, from the last minute, we had to change the setup. And it was going to be countdown, and I had to do the intro. I didn't have sound. Yeah. So we always have the events, of course, with the whole sound and clapping. And the weird thing is, with an online event, people at home have sound, but in the arena, you hear nothing.
Yeah.
That's a very strange experience. And then I was thinking, but if there's going to be sound and I have to be like clapping and I don't hear, am I going to be like offbeat? How am I going to do this? So right before he was like counting down 3, 2, 1, I was going to press like play on my phone, have earplugs in so I could at least hear it. I still feel it's a bit cringe when I look back at myself, but fortunately I didn't have to look back. But it was a great experience. Yeah. People really loved it. And it was also for us a new experience. And it led to a lot of live streams afterwards.
Yeah. And of course, we learned so much with going all in and saying, it doesn't matter what happens, we're going to give a good show and we're going to give as much of ourselves as we can.
Yeah, and also for the team.
Yeah.
Because they also felt the stress.
Especially the first live, I can remember we had 25,000 people. I was thinking we have more than 20,000 odd people waiting and they all have a login code, and now that login code's not going to exist. And then we're going to have to stream on a totally different platform. I think we went YouTube Live, and then we had to put in the chat when people logged in, and that we managed to flip everyone over last minute to actually being able to watch live. And I remember the girls feeling, I don't think this was part of the running plan, but everyone seems to be running around with computers and moving them and plugging in and putting, and I was, and then realized also that we didn't hear any loud music, and we are jumping like our normal intro thinking, are we on time or what's
it was
incredible thing.
Yeah.
There was also a weird thing to the first time we had always crowd participation and you feed from the crowd.
Exactly.
And the first time you're looking in the camera, of course.
Yeah. And then of course on the screen to have people sitting there. But that was also very special because you could see people from the living rooms.
Yeah.
And it was also a bit funny because in the beginning people are aware that they're on the screen, but at some point they're not very aware. So they're like laying like this,
a big glass of wine, and the cat is
the
next
cat
to them,
eating like this and laughing a bit, and
And I remember also, of course, we have everything in house now, and we have our own production team and everything. But in that stage, we hired in a production team, and the cameramen were not horsey at all.
Yeah,
and I just remember doing my normal sort of analogies of horse training and put in a joke, and then the guy behind the camera was standing with no expression, and of course my automated response was to engage with the response, and there wasn't one, and I was a bit caught off guard, like, oh god, I'm not on my game, gee, I have to like pull something out of the bag.
There's a lot of,
but that's also very nice for me and also for the team, because we always know that you'll pull it off. doesn't matter what happens. You'll make it work.
Yes. And luckily, we have a good team that they also are able to do the same in a lot of our situations.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of great memories. But just to give people a bit of a background, Connie, who is Connie Lewis? How did you get into, how did you become involved in horses? Where does your horse passion derive from?
Well, it started when I was 4 years old. My sister got a pony because the neighbor had a pony. So she wanted a pony. So she got one and then she had one and I want a pony. So I'd been whining for a long time. And then when I was six, I got my own pony and I really loved it. And it grew from there. I think I shared a passion with my dad, which was very special. So on the weekends, he was a fisherman, worked really hard. But on the weekends, he was always there going to place with me competitions with the horses. And we had a great time. There was also when I was quite tall for my age. So when I was 12, I already moved from ponies to like the big horses. And then I'm not really sure, actually, I do know how it happened. I always got sort of like the problem horses because my dad would say, Connie will get on. Connie will work through it. And I would work through it, not in the way that I would do it now. But back then, I thought it was the right way to do it. And I wanted to have like, my dream was to have my own stable, to have a boarding stable at that point. Not my dream anymore, but at that point it was my dream. Not having or being on a boarding stable, so I didn't really know what I was talking about. But that wasn't really an option. And I was pretty good at school. So my parents, despite that my dad really loved horses, he did say, Connie, you have to get a good job. You can't make a living in horses. It's a bit like the thing that every parent says. So I went to university. Studied economics, did pretty well, had my master's cum laude, so then my parents had quite some expectations, high expectations, but I didn't really see myself working at a central bank or something like that. A lot of other students were really talking a lot about that, but I didn't feel that passion at all. I really just loved the horses. And so when I was done with university, I started as an entrepreneur, as a project manager in the fishing industry because that's where my dad was involved. And because I was, the hourly rate was pretty good, so I didn't have to work full time. So I had plenty of time to spend with the horses. And then I started to, investigate what was happening online. I wasn't good enough to be at that point like a professional rider, so I was looking for other ways how I could do something with my passion. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started with blogging, and that's where the whole journey started. Created my own website, crashed my website multiple times, I didn't know anything, but you can learn so much online. And it really grew from there.
Well, so just a small piece there, when you said your father said, Connie will just get on and fix the problem. It seems to be, and of course, some people may know, your father passed away just recently. And there was also the sense I got, it was a beautiful, very emotional funeral. But I really got the story in the sense of the strength in the family. And that sort of motto of just get on and do it. If you want to achieve something, you have to do it. And of course, there's the amazing story on your socials and that journey of you and your father building a koi.
Yeah.
And it's why I say in my intro, a very hands-on property developer and builder.
Yeah.
Do you think that sort of motto and that sort of family drive to get on and do things has helped you?
Oh,
it's something you live by?
Yeah. Definitely. I'm really grateful what both of my parents, because my mom also works really hard, what they taught me at a young age. And I think one is working hard, and because they were never lazy. They were always doing something. So as you see that as a child and you think that's normal. But the other thing is, which I think is very important, is he gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Because they let me do a lot of things. And when I look back, for example, with cross country, I was 8 when I had my first competition. I was the youngest contestant. And I think when I look back, they probably must have had some fear of like, will this go all right? Because you go out in the woods, you don't see your child anymore. I mean, 8 years old is pretty young.
Yeah.
And my pony was, he was a bit naughty. And I also fell off during that competition, but I fell off and I was so competitive. So I said to the people who were standing there, like they had to like in their walkie-talkie say what happened. I was like, don't let them, don't say I fell off. Don't tell them. I'll quickly get on. Because of course, when you fall off, you're finished. And I thought that they hadn't told anything. Well, of course they did. But I think with that confidence, that has really helped me. Because with a lot of things, that when I started online, is I always feel like it will be all right. If I just put in the work, put in the effort, I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't go the way that I think, that it doesn't mean that I'm stupid or dumb. I just have to try another way.
Yeah.
And I see with a lot of other entrepreneurs when I coach them, because I sometimes coach a few entrepreneurs, is that they really have a lot of self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And they don't say it that way, but it stops them from going forward. Mm-hmm. It stops them from even trying.
Yeah.
But how can you become better if you don't even try? I mean, you become better by trying and by failing and trying a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you grow.
Yeah. Do you think there's a lot of difference between somebody with a lot of self-confidence and then maybe someone that doesn't have a lot of self-worth? Because I also feel from your background and your family that there's this really strong belief in that if you work hard, then you do deserve it. And of course, if you work hard and you achieve something, it gives you confidence and you can be confident by achieving that goal and getting... you know, hitting the target, starting another business, that being successful. But there's also something to do with someone can be very self-confident, but not have a lot of self-worth. And when you talk about entrepreneurs that sort of don't really go all in, I think a lot of the time, some of it can be that, you know, you have a certain level of self-confidence, but, and I feel that from you and your sister, that... And also in everything you do, not just in the online and in business, but also your personal things with personal goals, that you have also this strong self-worth that you deserve it. That if you work hard for it and you put in the hours and just like you say, you've fallen down 10 times, but you get up 11.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really powerful thing.
But there's also a downside, because if you have this belief that you have to work hard, you have the feeling that you always have to work hard.
Yeah.
But there are also times, especially now that I've become a mom, that I'm now also thinking, but what is my self worth if I'm not working hard?
Yes.
So that's also a bit challenging. Yes. And also some beliefs.
I have that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also something that I'm now sort of investigating, like, what is, because I feel like that I... But if I accomplish something, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
But what if I'm, for a moment, not accomplishing something? Am I then...
Yeah, falling back.
Yeah.
Not doing yourself an injustice or an in-service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. I have that too. And I think a lot of the time my mojo has been... that I'm willing to go out, to come to the other side of the world and to build something, and I'm willing to fail, and I'm willing to work unhumanly hours and do whatever is possible. But at the other side, I feel like if I'm not being that human, then I'm failing.
Exactly.
You know, and especially when you achieve a lot of things and you come a long way, that becomes a little bit your identity.
Exactly.
And if you don't continue to do that, all the things you've done to work to become that person is kind of lost.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it has to do with your identity. And now I'm also thinking more, but actually being a good mom, it's also very important to me. And of course, you're also working hard as a mom, but it's different. I mean, if I'm like focusing on my son and spending time with him, like one-on-one, I'm now like investigating, actually experiencing, like that's also very important to me.
Yeah.
And it's not only the hours that I put in for work.
Yeah. I've got a whole segment about something we also share, which is interesting. And also at the same time, so it's something we exchange a lot, of course, but we'll get into the children later on. So for this next part, of course, I just want people to know how qualified you are to answer this, because of course you have multiple successes in building online platforms, coaching in marketing, in business. You, from the beginning, learned everything yourself. I remember me being the surface flicker of information a lot of the time, going through, seeing a seminar, London Excel. Hey, Connie, look at this thing. There's a little bit of a seminar on back end of online training. And then I flick you the link and then I call you the next week. And I'm like, where are you? Yeah, I'm in London at Excel Center with that thing you sent me. I was like, oh, okay. And then learned it, studied it, tested it, come back. A week later, it's part of the online training. So, I mean, you have this unbelievable dedication. And I think that's a big part of being an entrepreneur. But in your opinion, what does it really take to be an entrepreneur? Or even still, what does it take to be an entrepreneur in the horse world, or even more, a digital? And is there a difference between being an entrepreneur in, let's say, the normal world and in the horse world, or even extending it more to the digital world? What does it really take to...
I think there are a lot of similarities. Well, I think it's very important you have to be goal-oriented. You have to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, I mean, if you don't have guidelines, if you're an entrepreneur, you have no one who's going to say you have to do this or you have to do that. So you have to figure it out yourself. You also have to feel comfortable with figuring it out yourself. You have to feel comfortable being uncomfortable. And you have to want to stretch your comfort zone. If you stay inside your comfort zone, it becomes smaller and smaller, and then you don't do anything anymore. So I think goals are very important. And that's perhaps a bit difficult sometimes with entrepreneurs in the equestrian space, because they sometimes have the feeling that it's difficult to set goals because horses are involved generally. But of course, anything can happen in the meantime. So when you set the goal and when you're actually pursuing the goal, a lot of things can happen that take you into a different direction. I don't think that's a problem, because you have to adjust, you have to be flexible. And I think what's also important is that you have to every time again monitor where are you. You have to be like, okay, this is where I want to go. What is going to be my game plan, my action plan to get there? That's something a lot of entrepreneurs don't do. They set a goal, they don't think about how they're going to get there. So that plan, that strategy is very important. And then it's very important to measure it, because you can think of, okay, I want to be there. I know what's going to be the route, but you have to know, where am I on that pathway?
Yeah.
Am I still on track or not? If I'm not, often you're not on track, because the goals are probably very ambitious. But then you have to figure out, okay, what am I going to do to make sure that I get back on track?
Yeah.
And I think if you stick to that, you'll figure out that a lot is possible.
Yeah. It's funny, because a lot of that sort of stuff is the same in any goal achievement, but also in horses. And a lot of the time when you say, set a goal, some people are also not even doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm riding, or I'm an entrepreneur, I'm starting a business. What's the goal of your business? Oh, they talk a lot about what they're doing, but not why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And of course, not setting the goal does not allow for the next step, which is what you said, is making a plan and steps to get there.
Yeah.
And then going on from there, the measuring part, I think that's really the most important bit.
Yeah.
If you get the other two in line, is the measurement of actually how you're going.
Yeah.
Are you on the right track?
Yeah. And I think that's setting us a bit apart from other people who are doing something similar.
Yeah.
I think the plan, they might not have the same plan, but also the measuring.
You're also exceptionally good at that. Is that something you consciously did or something you feel comes natural to you? Is that one of the major parts that you enjoy the most about entrepreneurship, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the strategy. Yeah. That's what I like the most.
Yeah.
And of course,
there's that whole process, setting the goal, now the strategy and the plan, and now the measurement.
Yeah.
Because of course, what is the idea of a plan if you can't measure if it's successful?
No, exactly. Yeah. But a lot of people don't do that. Also because they think it's too complicated.
Yeah.
Or because they know they're not on track and they don't want to confront themselves with it.
Yes.
Because of course, measuring is a lot of fun when you're on track or even surpassing that. But if you know you're a bit behind, a lot of people just want to not have a look at it.
Yeah.
But I think that's...
Seeing the failure is actually as important.
Yeah.
Because once it's successful and it's doing well, you don't particularly need to change it.
Then. But maybe that comes back to the self-worth. Because if you see you're failing and you're then thinking, oh, I'm a loser. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it right. It's not going to work out. I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's completely different to when you're thinking, it's not going the way I planned. Okay, let's see how we can make this work. Yeah. I see it as a challenge.
Yeah.
I always had that also with my tests at university. Doesn't matter if I had studied a lot or not, because if I hadn't studied a lot, I thought, let's see how far I can get with the amount that I've studied.
Yeah.
And see it as a challenge. And I think that really helps with how you go into things.
And particularly for an online business, where do you think people go wrong the most? Because of course, there's so many, and it's changing at such a rapid speed of the strategy. And if you think just how marketing, for instance, has changed in the last 10 years, when you have magazines, when you have, you know, a lot of the places and spaces where marketing existed predominantly, people's major margin of their budget went to that sort of thing. It's now shifting mostly digital, mostly on social media. And then, of course, there's sort of getting followers. And there's, of course, you have the main lines of marketing where you can do cold calls, you can do clinics, you can, you know, organically, you can do Facebook, Instagram ads, you can have affiliates.
Yeah.
But where do you think people mostly go wrong? Is it the seeing how the modern marketing is working, maybe not talking about the plan and the system, not measuring? Where do you think it lies the most?
Different things. One is you have a line of people who are not adjusting, sticking to the old thing, but that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the question was very difficult if you have, because if you're good at what you're doing and let's say you're a trainer, you're spending a lot of time with the horses, else you're not very good, probably not so good at it. But then doesn't leave a lot of time for marketing. Yeah. So they don't know a lot about it. They feel they have to do something with it and then they don't really know what to do. So that's a difficulty. The other thing is that there are so many options. And I mean, you can do, like you say, you can do ads, you can do organically on Instagram, on YouTube. And each one of those will work. If you do it in the right way, it will work for your business. But a lot of people feel like they have to do a lot of those things. And then they'll start doing a lot of those things and they'll start to do it a little bit. Oh, yeah, I'll post again. Oh, I'll make a YouTube video once. And that doesn't work because you have to do it. You really have to put in the work and the dedication and really learn and become better at what you're doing. And it's better to then pick one thing or maybe two strategies and focus on that. Do it really well.
Yeah.
Become really good at it. And preferably choose something that you like doing because then it comes more naturally. And then leave out the rest. And that's very difficult because you see so many gurus, you have to go do this, you have to go do that. And then you feel like, I have so many things to do, but you just don't do it. Because there's also a lot of people who are successful who don't even have an Instagram account, but you don't see them. You only see the people who are successful. Then you think, everybody's on Instagram. I have to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of companies who don't even have an account and they're very successful in providing value to their customers and giving good product.
Yeah. So what would your advice be if we're giving value to our guests now? If you had, say, let's say, for instance, a trainer of anything, not even in horses, but in fitness or in, you know, a trade or what it is, and you were wanting to start to build a business, let's say to build an online business in sharing the word, providing information, what would you say is the most important things, important aspects in order for that to be successful from the beginning? To say, now I start the business, I need these key things in order to already start creating revenue and to be able to grow further.
It depends a little bit on what you like doing. If you, let's say you're a fitness trainer, instructor, you love your work and that's where you want to spend all of your time. You know, you have to do something in marketing, but you're a bit like, yeah, it has to be done, but it's not really my cup of tea. I don't enjoy it that much. Get someone who does like it and get like a partnership, like how we're doing it. And I think that's something if you want, if you're very serious about it and you can find someone who's passionate about what you're doing, really believes in you, who is, who likes to do the marketing and who can takes responsibility, then I would go for that. If that's not an option or you want to take it a bit smaller and you do like marketing, I would suggest to go for ads. For example, ads on Facebook and Instagram. You can also, there are also companies, agencies who do that, who can help you with it. Because then you can test very quickly if it works, if what you're offering, if it's appealing to the market. Of course, you can also do it organically on, let's say, Instagram. But it takes a lot of time. It takes also, it's not going to be like a quick solution. With ads, you get people to your website very quickly and you can figure out, is this working or not?
And if you're starting a business, for instance, and I have this discussion also in my own businesses outside of the online training. I have a couple of friends that are actually real specialists in what they do. They're exceptionally good at the craft that they do. And they're sort of always under stress because they're trying to manage a lot of other positions within the business. And I remember having a discussion with someone that's given me some advice along the way. And he said to me, you need a personal assistant. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, yeah, but I'm not a big CEO or, you know, someone that is the head of a company that needs a full-time assistant. And you think that you need to be earning X amount or you need a company that's big enough or has 20,000, well, not 20,000, but you have 10 other employees before you get that assistant. And then I found out when I had Doreen.
That was a lifesaver.
Yes, but that she organizes everything that I don't need to be so I can focus more on the thing that I'm good at. And the thing that took the time away was answering the emails, having conversations with someone who wants a clinic, having conversations and organizing people that want to come in training, things like that. So,
and not only your time, but probably also your energy.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so actually, when I had a business that was, if and my then advice to the friends that have those companies is that you can be earning still nothing and it's still worth to first get a personal assistant that's going to help you with everything else around your. And so with that sort of analogy in mind, what would you say if you were starting an online business again for someone's thinking about it and they have the skill like the horse trainer or like the personal trainer, the gym exercise program, what would be that first person that would, okay, you have mentioned that what you're not good at, it's good to employ that person, but what is it when you start an online business where the work comes the most?
Well, a lot of people think it's the creation of the online training. And I do have to say, you mentioned before that we want to help a lot of people. So we have been adding a lot of courses that takes a lot of time. but actually most of the time goes to the marketing. That's an ongoing thing. So if you want it to be successful, that's where you need help with the marketing.
Yeah.
And of course, also with what you said with a personal assistant, like managing your agenda, but that's mainly focusing on so you can do your work better.
Yeah.
Having someone for the marketing is so that what you're actually creating will sell.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the the difference is.
Yeah. So of course I get this comment a lot when I tell people that I have an online training, and they sort of say, "Oh, so you know, you sit there and you coach people sitting at the computer while they're right." I said, "No, well, it's a program like a course." "Oh, so you've just videoed yourself and then you put it on the internet and then people pay for it," which is, of course, you know, in the beginning, the perspective people have about having an online training. But what is it that actually goes in to running an online training platform?
Well, we have, the team is growing quite a lot, and they're also working quite hard. So that's a lot of work. So if we break it down, the easiest part is, of course, I'm saying easiest, but this is already something that a lot of people find difficult, is creating the online training, what goes in it. That's something you're very good at because you have a very clear system in your head, even though it comes very like, hey, you feel what the horse needs, but there are very clear steps. So that made it much easier to create the online training. Because when I came to your place, we started filming, and there were very clear steps for me to break the training into. Then, of course, there's the website. You have to, it's not only to have the website and say, here's a button, here you can get it, but you also have to make sure you know what converts. So you have to be good at, or at least become good at, knowing what does the sales page have to look like, because a lot of people will go to it, but when they get there, the focus of people is like becoming less and less. So you have to grab their attention, and they have to understand what is it about and will this help me.
That's also an interesting point, just sorry to cut in there, but when you talk about a sales page, I automatically think, so you can be successful in having sales. But I've also experienced myself, when searching for something, I've come to a sales page and then it didn't lead me in the right direction. It didn't give me the right information.
Yeah.
And then I felt disappointed because I came there to get help and to learn something or to buy something. And then it didn't lead me in the right direction. And then I was disappointed and I actually didn't
get. It clicks away.
Yeah. And you're not able to then, with the right sales page, give people the value that you're trying to give them if they're not presented in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, comes down to it, we're helping people. They're having problems with the horses. They want the horse to feel better. They want to solve problems. And it's our job to make sure that we give them the right information to show them how we can help them.
Yeah.
So that's something you have to work on. And then, of course, getting people to go to that page, the traffic. I mean, for example, with ads, we do a lot of ads, but that's everyday monitoring, seeing how it's going, adjusting things, creating new ads, testing things.
And of course, that's changed a lot within even the last.
Well, yes, strategies are changing. Yes. So with marketing.
And also exposure, because people that are looking for something now have such an influx of so many products and so many maybe not related to horses, but the head is already full from the ads because they went on winter sport and they see 10 new jackets.
Yeah.
And they're seeing so many things that before they would see your product twice
and it'd be enough.
And remember it. And when they're thinking of something, oh, I can go there, I remember that. But the head's so full of so many other things that they have to see your product so many more times.
The number I heard was like 16, maybe it's even more now. So 16 times. So that's also something that people have to know, that when they start an online business, don't think that because you shared it once on social media, people will know. because that's also what I see happening a lot. They share it once, okay, maybe twice, and they're like, yeah, but I already told them. I don't want to keep telling them, but you have to, because people have so many things going on in their lives. They see so many distractions, so you have to constantly be top of mind. And then, of course, when it is going well, you're getting members. You have to make sure that the platform is still functioning.
Support.
You have to answer the emails, help people the best you can. So that goes also, like, a lot of time goes into that. And then, of course, you have also, like, the social media accounts if you want to be on there as well.
Yeah.
And
of course, the support is so, and as we've found, the more momentum and the more members you have, then the more people you have there to support.
Yeah.
The more, if simple things like login and password. Yeah. And of course, sometimes you're having people that it's the first time they've ever been on a computer, the first time they've ever signed in to something, and they don't know the navigational way in order to receive the thing they've signed up for.
Yeah.
So the help and being there right is nothing worse than you're on a computer and it's not working, and then you get frustrated and immediately.
Yeah, definitely. And in the beginning, people sometimes felt, oh my God, is this a scam? And then they're like on Facebook, responding.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't know, Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, I would say, I was like, no, it's not a scam. Probably ended up in your junk mail. And they're like, oh yeah, it did end up in my junk mail. Yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah. And then I was thinking, okay, but can you also delete that comment?
Yeah.
It's a scam.
And also, that's what I have a daily feeling of gratitude for you guys in that position, because, okay, I'm training horses and I'm having the information and we have a large community now and I try to be as involved as possible and getting that information out, but also to give support and to be able to be there for every member that has every question of every minute of every day when you're in more than 69 countries with different languages and different time zones. 74. See, I'm not keeping up with it. That's what I mean. So, you know, that's such a, and that's the thing. And I think there was a lot of people during COVID that thought, oh, we have to go online.
Yeah.
You know, and I build a website and I make a video and then they got disheartened. And maybe a lot of people that really did have a lot of valuable things to offer, but just not the right strategy and the right knowledge and technique to get it out there.
Yeah, and I think that's really sad, because you have a lot of professionals in the equestrian world who have a lot of things to say that would benefit a lot of people, but are just finding it hard to bring their message out there.
Yeah. So we're going to go now to that thing we have in common.
Our most precious thing.
Our most precious things. So you have an amazing little boy now, and being a very highly ambitious entrepreneur, how has that changed? Has it changed something in the way that you look at business and being very good at being an entrepreneur and building a business? And of course, you've worked incredibly hard and put in an immense amount of hours, and you've made an extreme amount of sacrifice in your life, in your personal life, in your own ambitions, cutting time off from riding because you had to.
Still doing that.
Yes. But of course, when a child comes, it's something completely different. Yeah. How was the change for you as far as that?
Yeah.
Life balance.
Yeah, a lot changes. For a long time, I didn't want children because my mom was always at home, and that's something I really appreciated. So I've always had the feeling that if I do become a mom, I want to give that to my child as well. And for a long period of time, I felt I couldn't do that. And I think that was true, because if you want a business to be successful, you have to put in the hours. I mean, there are a lot of people saying online, oh yeah, I work so many hours and passive income, and I don't know all the bullshit they're talking about. Maybe I'm just not doing it right, but I have the feeling that you really have to work hard. I really have to put in the time and effort. So that being said, but there is, when you're coming to a stage where you're having, like, you're growing and the team is expanding, there was actually a point, it had to do with Accoy, actually, because my dream was, when I was young, to have, like, my own stable. And I still had that dream. So even when I was blogging, I still had a dream of having my own stable and that it was really nice and fancy. And I was visualizing it. And then when everything, the company was growing and was going better, I had the opportunity to buy my own property. And it turned out to be a really nice property. And then I had it. And then I felt, is this it? And that was quite disappointing. Because I was feeling I've worked so hard for this, and why am I not happy about this? Of course, I felt good about it, but it didn't give me the feeling that I was expecting. And that changed my perspective a bit, because then I was thinking, okay, so this is not it. I mean, of course, you can set different goals, but it's about the process. And to accomplish that goal of my own property, in like when we were doing like the rebuilding, I had set such a short deadline that was so stressful that I wasn't enjoying that process. So then I was thinking, okay, that's not it. I have to enjoy the process. And then I started to think more about like what's important in life. And then it came back to children. So then I did decide that I would like to become a mom. And because the team is growing, I did experience when I had Noah. When I gave birth to him, I had like, okay, 4 weeks, I'm not gonna and work. And I have to say, on the day that I was giving birth, it was March 30. It was the end of the quarter. And I was texting about the goals and we were on target. We were gonna achieve the goal. So I was very happy. And I was like, okay, now I can give birth. But
I also remember receiving text messages, and Katja was with me. We were driving the car and I was receiving text messages from you. And Katja was saying, I said, I'm mapping with Connie. She's saying we're on target and things are going really well and this is the next strategy and this. She was like, isn't she in labor? I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. But that's Connie.
Yeah, but I got epidural, so I felt amazing. So I was like, yeah, I feel good now. So I can focus on that for a moment.
I remember getting the high fives. This is going to be a good year this year. And
Yeah. But then I had like, okay, for 4 weeks, I want to take it easy. But then I noticed that it was going a bit like, meh. And then I was like, shit, I don't have the organization. I don't have it organized in a good way. Because it shouldn't be that when I step back, that of course, it's okay if it goes a little bit, but I felt like it's going downhill.
Yeah.
So then I started working again after 2 weeks. And at that point, I actually didn't want to, because I want to stay in my mom bubble. So I felt a bit like I have to change things. So then it was, I tried to make it work. So when he was asleep, I was working. That was pretty tough. But on the other hand, when you're used to working hard, it's still okay. Because the time that I was spending with him, to me, it felt like I was on a holiday, so I was relaxing.
Yeah.
And then when he was asleep, I was working, and it was going pretty okay. Then my dad passed away, so for 2 weeks, I was again not working. Then I saw it again, like, going a bit downhill. So then I decided I have to change things within the organization. It shouldn't be the case that I'm sort of micromanaging everybody. That's not good. So then we attended a workshop from a guy who knows a lot about how to organize growing startups and scale-ups and how to do that. And that has made a big difference, because now for the first time, everybody takes more responsibility, and I can feel like I can take a bit of a step back, really focus on being a mom and combine it better. Because I've made a decision that I still have him at home, and of course it would have been easier for work to have him sent off, but to the daycare, but I still have him at home because I find that very important.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes that means I have to work at, my work starts at 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the night. And I know that's not very good for my sleep, but sometimes you have to make it happen. And then just, yeah, try to balance it a bit.
Yeah.
But it has led to that the team has grown a lot.
Yeah.
In the last 4 months, they have gone through a big change.
Yeah.
So that has come out of it because I had to.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny how those life-changing things, and having a child is a really big life-changing thing,
yeah,
that it can either decide to deter you and this is now no longer going to be for me and I have to choose something else, or it steps you up and says, I just need a new strategy.
Yeah.
And everybody, and I've noticed it also, I mean, the girls have just grown immensely in the last 4 months and stepped up, yeah, and they know so much more about everything,
yeah,
to do with the company, not just their,
yeah,
part. And I think that that growth has just brought everyone stronger and closer together.
Absolutely.
We have much more contact with everybody.
Absolutely.
And it's...
They also feel more confident because I was their limiting factor because I was monitoring everything. I was analyzing and I was setting out the strategy and I was telling everybody what to do. So I was like getting all the information and deciding on what to do. And
yeah,
they were like, okay... They were more like robots, and now they're thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
They all have their own goals, and they all monitor their goals, and they think for themselves.
Yeah. And so with that perspective now from achieving and building the amazing facility that was Accoy, and having that realization of, or the expectation, and then it not matching and thinking, yeah, that's not it. And then with the birth of Noah and how quickly, how short they are little babies.
Yeah.
Did those two aspects of maybe a different appreciation of time because everything goes so fast,
yeah,
and having done everything at a very strict deadline, building Accoy and then realizing at the end of it and now having the appreciation of, do you approach, because now you're in the process of building another,
yeah,
property.
Yeah.
Do you face that now with a totally different...
Completely different.
Yeah.
Because now, before I always had the feeling we have to achieve things fast. Like I was always out of time. And on one hand, you do have to be... You can't be like, we'll see how it goes. I mean, yeah, so you have to find a bit of a balance there. But I'm really enjoying the process more. So that's also the process of Noah growing up.
Yeah.
And all the things that come with it. But also now with the property, yeah, it's taken quite long. And we had to, the deadline has been shifted a few times. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I have a bit more time to think about what color I want on the walls.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that has changed a lot. So that was actually a very good experience and taught me a lot.
Yeah. And also then with the horses, does that blend then? Because of course, when you're in the fast pace and you've got a deadline and everything is time sensitive,
yeah,
and you're trying to fit everything in,
yeah,
and then not being as present with doing everything, is it now? Because actually you probably have more horses now yourself, yeah, than
back then, yeah,
first moving into Accoy. So is that also now?
Well, it is now that I feel more relaxed when I'm with them.
Mm-hmm.
And still sometimes it goes wrong. I told you about it not so long ago, that I still was rushing a bit and then the riding didn't go as planned,
yeah,
because I was rushing. It was a bit dumb of me. But I am most of the times now more relaxed. So that helps a lot. But also you have to plan better with a baby. You have to plan your time better. So there are certain parts of the day that I'm like, okay, now I'm there for the horse. And I have this amount of time, and then it's completely dedicated to the horses, and that, yeah, feels pretty good.
Yeah.
But still, at this moment, I'm noticing that I would like to have a bit more time for the horses, but more time goes to Noah, and that's a decision I've made. And then it's, yeah, also good because you have to decide You have to look at your schedule and think, okay, how am I going to allocate my time, and make very clear decisions and not just let the day go by itself. Yeah. Because then at the end of the day, you'll feel very, you've worked hard and you didn't do the things you probably want to do. And yeah. that feels not very satisfying.
Yeah.
So you have to take, yeah, make decisions. So there are very often days I'm thinking, yeah, I don't have time to write. But they're getting their hay, they're getting their feed, they're going outside, they're probably still pretty happy.
Yeah. And they didn't get on the email and say, where were you today, Connie?
No.
I didn't get my ride.
No, no.
They're also happy, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe yeah. sometimes we also are a bit too strict or a bit too harsh on ourselves.
Yeah.
So
I have some questions from members and people outside.
Oh, really?
Of our company that want to know certain things about TT and about us and about the corporation. So one of them was, what are some of the best things about working together? And I should add then to this, what are the things you actually look for in working in a team? So the type of people that you employ, I know.
And also with you, I guess.
Yes, but I also know you have a strategy for that.
Yeah.
That the employment of people, you are also getting information and measuring. So what are some of the things you like about working together, and what are some of the aspects that you really look for in choosing someone?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when it came down to working with you, it was just my gut feeling, because it just has to feel right. You have to be on the same page with what you want to achieve, why you're doing it. And I think that has been our success factor, because we didn't do it for the money, because we just want to help people. And obviously you believe in what you're doing, and I also believe in it. So you have the same goals and the same values. So I think that's very important. And that also comes down to the team. Everybody on the team loves TAT. You have to. Yeah. You can't be it. And also with Dressage Pro, where we have like the supplements and we do a bit of other things, everybody loves TAT and is into it, even if they're not actively working on TAT.
Yeah.
Because else it won't work.
Yeah.
So that's the most important one.
Yeah. I found that also, even in all other areas of different businesses that I've had, also in the stable, I've many times had the comparison where I employed the one person that was most qualified on paper. You know, they'd had the most success, the most experience, and they fit the description.
Yeah.
And they came into the team and they were not able to perform the job.
Yeah.
Because it didn't innately fit the culture or our values. And the same even with something simple like asking a guy, the contractor, to come in that's fully qualified.
Yeah.
And he has all the skills, but you're not able to have that connection and that exchange of ideas of how you want it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you have the guy that's the friend of your uncle who kind of had the skills, but he understands exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And he can envisage it. And then you can work together to create something far better than the person that had all the skills on paper.
Yeah. It's very interesting that you say that, because I also now have that with the house that we're building, the contractors, what you call it.
Yeah.
He's also very positive, and because I've made the plan myself, I didn't have an architect, so he has to work with my like sketches.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be a bit like that they're not so happy with that. But then I'm like, we'll figure it out. And he's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, we will.
Yeah.
And that just it works very well.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
But with the team, I think the values are very important. Also their dedication, and then it's the skills less important, because they can learn that. I don't look so much for their previous experience, because I mean, when I look at myself and also all the girls, none of them had marketing experience, but they've all learned it, because you can if you want to. So that's the most important thing. I used to do tests, personality tests. I haven't done that recently. But that's because I'm a bit like data-driven, goal-oriented. And I find it very easy to communicate with someone who also has that. But you also have on the other side, people are very social and blah, blah, blah. And in the beginning, I found it quite difficult to work with someone who has those characteristics.
Feeling like they weren't focused like you on the goal and on...
And then I had to come in and they first wanted to talk about the weekend. I was like, yeah, how was your weekend? Okay, now let's get started. But that has changed. So now I'm not so much focusing on that. I mean, the core of the team has those correct those traits. So that works pretty well.
I had that also. In the beginning, I used to surround myself with people that found the same fuel as me and were focused and had the same natural aptitude to doing something in the way I did it to be able to identify. But of course, as you build a company bigger, then you need more cogs and people that can do different aspects.
Yeah.
And if everyone did the same as me, they would only have the same ideas I had.
Yeah.
And of course, what's great about TAT is everybody sees it from a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I come in with an idea from the horse training side, and then some of the girls will see it from someone that has a horse and is going, what are you talking about, Tristan? This does not make it's so complicated that nobody's going to be able to follow it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And I would be ready to put it out and have people get confused and I'd be going, why isn't someone interested in this? It's like, so that part of it makes that nice amalgamation of all skill sets, bringing something together. And it's great when, I love the team meetings when you guys have had a meeting on strategy or marketing or something that we're going to launch and it's about TRT, so it makes me excited, but it's a totally different perspective and something I would never have thought about myself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, wow, that's a great idea. Yeah. So it's like this funnel of ideas
and that's also places. That's also what I'm enjoying now a lot, because before Noah, I was like coming up with all the ideas and they're like, oh yes, funny, yeah, good idea. And now they're coming with their ideas and they're also saying to me, I'm not too sure about that idea. And they're like, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's so nice that you can like inspire each other.
Yeah.
And bring it to the next level. I mean, with more people, you can do more than by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Also about, to come back to at your question, what I think is very important, also what I appreciate a lot, is your trust. Because that has been really amazing. You've like trusted me with doing a lot of things and you just let me do my thing. And I love that. But sometimes I'm thinking, I'm not sure if I would have been able to do the same thing, because I'm a bit of a control freak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But of course, that first impression, and from the masterclasses and from writing the blog, and just exactly what I say, I still remember it. When you came to do the interview, you were dedicated. There was no doubt in my mind that what you were going to write in that blog was exactly what I was trying to express to you on the day. And you have that when someone gives an interview and they even ask all the right questions and you give the answers and then you see the article afterwards and you think, was that the same, talking to the same guy, you know? So I had already from that very first interaction that you got it. And not only, you know, it wasn't about the technical aspects of how to do something, but you understood the why.
Yeah.
Not what I was doing, but why I was doing it. That we were really trying to help horses and help people to understand horses. And it was not, again, about being good at getting a horse to do something.
No.
It was about being good at getting the horse to be able to serve himself.
Yeah.
And that, for me, in the beginning, felt difficult to explain to people. And I found fewer and fewer people that I could talk to that went, I get that.
Yeah.
And you said exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, she really getting this? Like, what? How's that? It's not normal.
Oh. And I never knew, actually.
Yeah.
Never
but and I still thing. Have it. I still, and that's also the thing that I really love about working together with you is because of course, when you come up with an idea, you know, some of my ideas are quite elaborate. And now I really try to go in and I'm writing down all the possibilities of it failing or why it shouldn't work. Or I try to put myself in the position of a member coming in to see it or how it would look from another perspective. And then I throw the idea sometimes at my family, which is not always the best.
Then they're like, and oh, here he goes again.
You're having this expectation of them going, yeah, wow, that's going to be the next most revolutionary thing that's ever happened in the horse world. And I want to go, yeah, that's what I thought. And then often it's not that. And I just think, it's 12:30 at night. I've got to ring Connie because I have to feel better. I'm just pumped about this idea and I need someone to say, you know, and we always have that. And then sometimes you have to redirect me and like say, well, I'm not sure that part's really going to work. But you're enthusiastic about it. And I always have the belief that in some way we will make it work.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a bit later than you had hoped. Because there are other things that have a bit more priority.
Yeah, yes. I'm not exactly sure of the structure and the timing of
layout. It will start.
Yeah. So the next question is actually no answer to this, really. What are some of the bad things or difficult things about working with each other?
Well, do you have a moment?
Do we have another hour to mess in all those things?
No. To be honest, there are no bad things. What can sometimes be a bit of a challenge, I think you already mentioned it a bit, because you're so much into it, like so deep. And also, I mean, we've had the training now for over 8 years. Yeah, over 8 years. And also, you've developed even more from that moment on. But most of the people we're reaching, they might be on the same path like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And you sometimes want to go into very deep philosophical messages. And then we're getting an audio. We're like, no one's going to get this.
What mosque is he sitting at in his meditative tai chi dress when he came up with this?
Yeah. So then we have to like bring it completely like, more surface level actually.
Yeah.
But also because when people are on like scrolling through the Instagram and they see a video, they just want to, they don't have to be like, whoa, wait a second. I have to like make some notes and watch this over and over. They just wanted to like be a bit like, easy. So sometimes, we have to temper it a bit. Yeah. But apart from that, maybe sometimes what can be a challenge is that you're very enthusiastic. And of course, TRT is yours and so much into it that you also have a lot of ideas and you're giving the ideas to the team members. I'm giving ideas to the team members. Sometimes they collide a bit, or at least the time path. They can't be done at the same time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they listen to me then.
Thank God.
No, I'm not sure. And of course, we then have to communicate a bit about, so what is your idea? Yeah. This is my idea. And, but apart from that, no, it's actually, I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
I'm very
I'm the happy. Same. I can't really think. I mean, if I was to say it's not a bad thing, but if I say sometimes we have a weakness, is that we're too similar.
Yeah.
We have such high ambitions and we sometimes lack a bit of perspective on time.
Yeah.
And we have 10 things and we just say, oh, we'll just do them all.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, and if we were less the same then, maybe one of us would say more, like this is probably more realistic.
Yeah.
Which I think we're both getting better at.
Yeah, I think because of the family.
Yeah, but in one way we are, that's a great thing. That's enabled us to achieve a lot because we just said, we'll just do it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
No problem. And we were,
I remember there being a point in time when I asked you like, okay, where do you think it will go with how many new members a day can join? You were like 25. And I was a bit like, and then at some point it's 25 yeah. and it goes, it's yeah. really nice that you can also stretch each other a yeah. bit with yeah, that.
That bit I also like.
It's, yeah.
It's, yeah, it's the, and in business you need someone to challenge you. You need, okay, we were meant to say the bad things now, but we're only getting on to the positive things again. But that's another thing. We always yeah. can flip something and make yeah. something good out of it. Yeah.
But also, I think, because we're also both ambitious, maybe, I mean, I remember you also texting like team members in the weekend, and then I did say they're not working.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is a bit like a strict rule
yeah.
for me that they're not working in yeah. the weekend. And of course, if they are doing something and because they feel they need to,
yeah,
of course, very nice if they do that, but I don't want it to be normal. So yeah. there, I think maybe I had to step yeah. in a bit.
And that's also something that's easy when, like you say, you're ambitious and you're working yeah. at, actually, I sometimes have that when Arnaud sends me a message at 11:30 and says, oh, can you remember with the rendering of blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, he's on it. Good.
Yeah.
I'm also still sitting in my office. And then we have that, this text message.
Yeah,
for a little while. But yeah, it's also not realistic to think that everybody in the company is going to work the same as us.
Yeah. But it's also not necessary.
No. No. Yeah. Well, yeah. So what... Oh, this is interesting. What are some of the things you want to achieve more at this stage in your life? What are the things on this? So, of course, we've talked about the goal you had of always having your own stable, your own property.
Mm-hmm. What is the goal now?
Yeah. What is the next stage?
Well, if we're talking about big goals and with TRT, I want every equestrian to have TRT in their veins. Like how they work with horses, because I think it's needed. When it comes to personal goals, I want to have on a daily basis a very good balance with work, with a team that is doing very well. I want that to actually, it doesn't necessarily have to grow a lot. I really like how it's going now, maybe grow a little bit. Of course, with more members, we need more people. I'll have a bit more time to ride and see Noah grow up. Actually, I'm very happy with I'm actually very content with how it's going now. I feel, a bit more time for the riding and then it's all perfect.
Yeah.
And continue how we're doing, because I think we're on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's growing. Members are very happy. The team is very happy. I think you're happy. I'm happy. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's been a pretty rough year. Also, with the passing of my dad, you've also had a very big loss, and it also makes you grateful what you have.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing to recognize that in difficult times, like it's easy to be happy when things are going well.
Yeah,
and when things don't go so well and we have trying times, it is, you realize then that the people you are surrounded by.
Yeah.
And of course, having that support and having the kind of people that you are creating and doing things within life, when you have those people around you in the trying times, it also gives you the ability to find happiness and find joy.
But also appreciate it because, for example, if my dad hadn't passed away, perhaps I now would have thought it was like normal. But now I'm more aware and more appreciating the things that are going well.
Yeah.
So I think that's also very important.
Yeah.
Be more in the moment.
Yeah. It's a key thing, I think, especially these days.
Yeah.
So many things that are distracting us and getting us into high pace.
Yeah.
And to, even if we're ambitious, to also remember. Yeah. To be present and to appreciate, and that things do go by in a flash, and to not speed things up that we miss the important stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's being with your family, with your horses.
Yeah.
It's being in the moment.
Yeah. Last one. I'm going to make this into two.
Oh. Right?
Because just like the last one, I want to hear, and of course, these questions have been asked, some of them by TRTers. Mm-hmm. This one is from a VIP member. Oh. Where do you see TOT in the next 5 to 10 years, and what do you hope TOT's legacy will be?
5 years.
That's also interesting for me because, yeah, of course, I have my idea, and we discuss on short term what our plans are, and maybe we have briefly about maybe a 5 year plan, but.
Yeah, normally I don't really make plans for such a long time horizon because so many things can happen. I focus a bit more on the short term, like yearly plans. I think we're now at a moment of time where it's going like this. We're really having momentum. There's a lot of things going on in the equestrian world that makes it that it's becoming very necessary that change is needed. And I think TOT provides that change. And I think a lot of people are feeling that. So I think the amount of members is going to grow a lot. But I also think that there's going to be more people catching up, meeting each other. And I think TOT is becoming more of like a way of being with your horses. Perhaps less focus on competition or different form. So I also see something going on in that direction. I think 5 years, I think it's hard to put a number on it, but I think it's going to be very big. And it's going to become the way of being with your horse. It's becoming very normal. Perhaps now when you're with your clapper, I mean, 8 years ago, people were like, what are you doing? Can you please go away with that? But now that it's already different. But I think in 5 years, it's going to be normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so too. I feel in my journey, I've been sort of coming out of the bushes and looking strange. And the world was also, especially coming to Europe, horses and the horse world and horse sport was in a different place than I was. And it's sort of like they're both coming to a point where I have been developing, and we've been developing TOT, and we've been sharing it and letting other people be empowered by it. And I think the horse world and where TOT is coming to is going to encompass each other. And I think there's so many people in the last few years that are also on their own self-generating this belief in empowering themselves to empower their horses.
Yeah.
And they're having a perspective of really feeling that they can contribute and really do something to help horses and the horse world and how we view it and what are our moral and ethical boundaries and guidelines. And it's, that really interesting time.
Yeah. I also see quite an interesting journey for you. Like, I feel that when we started out, like in the beginning stage of TOT, that you looked at the dressage world and sort of felt you want to be part of that. Of course, bring your own expertise. But I think as TOT has grown, how you have maybe, I'm not really sure how to say it, but how you have also like grown in that, and that you now see, okay, what I first wanted is not what I want anymore. And that is more like that you want to change it so it really fits.
Yeah.
And that it's now coming more together.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And also my personal goals of a long time chasing something I thought I should be.
Yeah.
And through the TRT journey, really realizing what my purpose is.
Yeah.
And that my passion is searching for information and bettering myself, bettering my skills, and my purpose is to share it with others.
Yeah.
And TOT has given me that.
Yeah.
So it's actually us coming together has made my purpose meaningful to not just me, but a lot of other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And us as a team and us as a group.
Yeah.
So we are all grateful. You.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for you, Tristan.
But of course, we have many, many things to talk about. And of course, as we talk on the phone regularly, whether we're in the car, whether we've seen a podcast, whether we've shared a podcast, whether we've been to an event, been to a seminar, most of our conversations could be recorded as a podcast and someone could get some help from it from somewhere. But I just want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you for honestly
sharing all of your amazing knowledge with everybody that's listening. And of course, as our journeys progress and as TRT progresses and as the podcast progresses, we need to make sure that we get together on a regular basis to share on this platform so everybody can also benefit. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I know I don't need to tell you this. Share this episode. You're going to do it, if you haven't already done it, with anybody and anyone that you feel could get something from it. And until next time, be good to your horses.